If you're talking about it,
it's always about the money. Everything else is just conversation.
We're talking about it.
No excuses. Just find a way to get it done.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
As we close in on what, 10, 11 days before the election, getting right down to it here, got an article that Chris ran across today called How Would a Contested Election Work? Five Things to Know. Should we know?
Well, recounts and legal challenges can often take months to play out in some cases.
True.
But not in the election of a president. The Constitution sets strict deadlines and not just the date for the inauguration. Now, there have been some long fights for office elsewhere. When Norm Coleman of Minnesota ran for the Senate.
Oh, this is the Franken thing?
In 2008, right.
Yeah.
The election night count showed him beating Al Franken by 725 votes. That triggered a process of recounts and court battles that played out for 8 months. Finally, Al Franken was declared the winner, but he wasn't sworn in until July of 2009 and was supposed to have been sworn in January of that year.
Yeah, so 7 months later, and then you can add the 2 months it took to start the process,
mm-hmm.
9 months, full term.
In Washington State, Dino Rossi gave up fighting 7 months after it appeared that he had been elected governor in 2004 by a margin of 261 votes. They did a second recount. He still won, but by a different number. And then when they did the third recount, they declared Christine Gregoire the winner. Or Gregoire, I'm not sure how you pronounce it.
Well, he won 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
Come on.
Okay, 5 things that you need to know about contested elections.
Okay.
Number one, in the event of a close vote, state law determines how recounts work.
And they're not all the same.
No, there are probably 50 different ones, and 51 if you count D.C. Nearly every state allows for a recount when the margin of victory is very narrow. Only Hawaii and Mississippi do not. If the apparent loser isn't happy with the results in those two states, the only recourse is to take them to court. For the rest of the country, the rules vary. In 20 states and the District of Columbia, which has 3 electoral votes, just like Wyoming, recounts are triggered automatically if the margin is below a specified threshold, usually 1% or fewer. This group includes 3 states where the vote for president may be close: Arizona, Florida, and Ohio.
Yeah, Florida could be massive.
Yeah, Ohio,
well, Ohio too.
Ohio and Florida are both coveted states.
Yep.
Automatic recounts are triggered only when the vote is a dead even tie in Alaska, South Dakota, and Texas. They trust the voting or the accounting process.
But that's automatic. They can still have a recount.
In 42 states, candidates themselves can seek a recount, though they have to pay for all or part of the cost of it unless they turn out to be the winner.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But in Arizona, Connecticut, Florida, New York, South Carolina, and Tennessee, candidates cannot even request a recount.
So, now, tough luck.
That was the number one thing, is that recounts are based on state law. Number two, losing candidates can go to court to contest the election.
Which has happened nationally.
State laws set out the grounds for contesting the election results by challenging them in court. Candidates can claim that election procedures were not followed or that fraud has been committed. It is not enough to cite a generalized belief that something went wrong. Courts demand specifics.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just have a feeling I won isn't going to work.
Or this election is rigged?
Yeah, that's probably not going to work either.
Yeah.
Contest laws allow claims that fraud or irregularities changed the outcome of the election, or at least put the results in doubt by disregarding votes that should be counted or by counting votes that should be thrown out. Possible allegations include claims that ballots were cast by people who were not qualified to vote, absentee or overseas ballots were wrongly tabulated, or voting machines were improperly programmed. And we have heard every one of those things in just the past few weeks.
Yep.
When the vote in a state is very close and every paper ballot is inspected, losing candidates may claim that ambiguously marked ballots were wrongly counted or discarded. In 2010, Republican U.S. Senate candidate Joe Miller went to court claiming that Alaska officials improperly counted write-in votes for Lisa Murkowski that misspelled her name. Because, you know, Murkowski is not the easiest name in the world to spell.
No.
A judge ruled that because voter intent was the most important factor, spelling variations would count.
And I think that's probably fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. KBOI News Time, 8:45.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back going through five things
to know about contested elections.
If there is one.
Micah Boise wrote in to say, please don't confuse a contested election and a rigged election. I don't think we are. A contested election revolves around the vote count being done accurately. A rigged election is in regard to the entire system being corrupted by officials, fraud, or mass non-qualified voters. Two animals, there are 50 elections. Rigged won't work here. And there are even more than that because the District of Columbia and the territories get to vote.
Exactly.
Here's number three. The first two, by the way, were that number one, state law applies when it comes to a recount.
Right.
And every state is a little bit different. And then number two was losing candidates can go to court to contest the election.
Yep.
Takes a while.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, the amount of time for recounts and contest in a presidential election is strictly limited. The Constitution gives Congress authority to specify the day when each state's electors, those chosen in November, must meet and cast their electoral votes. Congress has made that day the first Monday after the second Wednesday in December, which, let's see.
It's about 35, 40 days.
I think that's about the 19th this year.
Yeah.
Because there's also a law that specifies when the popular vote is cast, the Tuesday after the first Monday in November, that leaves a period of only 5 weeks and 6 days for each state to resolve any disputes over the election results through recounts and election lawsuits. So you have to hurry. But there's an even tighter deadline. A 129-year-old federal law known as the Safe Harbor provision says Congress must count a state's electoral votes if any disputes over who won are settled 6 days before the electors meet. As a practical matter, states really have only 5 weeks to resolve disputes.
And now, they have to be resolved in that time.
The fourth thing you should know is that the safe harbor provision was a factor in the disputed 2000 election between George W. Bush and Al Gore.
Yes, it was.
The U.S. Supreme Court issued its decision in Bush versus Gore on December 12, 2000, 6 days before the Electoral College was to meet on December 18th. The court's decision said the Florida Supreme Court had ruled earlier that the state legislature intended to take advantage of the safe harbor provision. That meant the justices said that the recount issue could not be sent back for another round in court because time had run out.
Yep.
And if you don't understand that, I think you're probably fairly normal.
Yes.
And number five, Congress decides whether to count the electoral votes from a state that misses the deadline. Wow. States are understandably reluctant to gamble with missing the safe harbor date, which could put their electoral votes in danger of not even being counted. Imagine if California did that.
Yeah, or New York or Florida.
We're not going to count your 59 or whatever you've got.
Yeah.
But one comparatively modern example suggests the danger could be low. 2 days after Hawaii's election for president in 1960, their first, John F. Kennedy was ahead of Richard Nixon by 92 votes.
Yep.
Out of more than 184,000 cast in Hawaii. The final tally after the votes were canvassed gave the victory to Nixon. The state's electors met in mid-December and voted accordingly. But after a long legal battle, a judge ordered a statewide recount for Hawaii, and Kennedy was certified the winner. The state then chose a new slate of presidential electors.
Because?
Well, when Congress met to count the electoral votes, the joint session was presided over by the vice president, Richard Nixon. He said that even though Hawaii sent in two separate states or slates of electors, the second one reflected political reality. He asked if there were objections, and there were none. So the Kennedy votes were counted. Nixon actually did that. Hmm. He helped himself lose his own election. But
way to go, Richard.
That was the most honest thing he ever did, possibly the last as well. Perhaps Nixon's magnanimity stemmed from the fact that Kennedy beat him by 84 electoral votes and Hawaii's three votes wouldn't have made any difference.
Nope.
Okay, So it was safe to tell the truth.
So it could be magnanimous and just say, look at how honest I am, when actually it didn't matter.
Yeah, but by any measure, the
statement... But still, he was honest.
Yeah. The statement in announcing the victory of his opponent was a gracious one. In our campaigns, no matter how hard fought they may be, no matter how close the election may turn out to be, those who lose accept the verdict and support those who won, the words of Richard Nixon.
Yeah, it'll be interesting if it's close. It's going to be interesting no matter what happens, mm-hmm. close or not, because of the rigged election thing by candidate Trump.
Yeah. But again, just because he says an election is rigged, unless he's got some actual evidence,
proof, yeah.
the Supreme Court, and nobody will even hear it.
True.
Because it's like, you can't just tell me that you think you were ahead in the polls.
But that doesn't mean nobody will believe it.
Yeah. Dave of Boise says, how come everybody just dismisses the fraud because there is no proof? Well, you just answered your own question.
Yeah.
Of course, there is no proof. A lot of powerful people are committing crimes. Do you think they are going to publish it for all to see? It's like saying there are people on the planet that have committed murder and got away with it. O.J. Simpson comes to mind. Everybody knows he did it, but he got away with it because of money and our rigged system that helps the rich and powerful. The corruption is there. The fraud is there. When is everybody?
How does he know that?
He might have been there. When is everything going to acknowledge, or when is everybody going to acknowledge it and then do something to stop it? Again, when there's
when
there's actual proof of it, and in court, everybody knows that is not considered proof.
No, that's true. Even though you hear that a lot.
Everyone knows that, you know, you're supposed to eat a lot of vitamin C when you have a cold, and it has never cured one cold ever.
One of the WikiLeaks hacked emails reinforces the worst perception of the Clintons. We'll talk about it when we come back.
If you're talking about it,
it's always about the money. Everything else is just conversation.
We're talking about it.
No excuses. Just find a way to get it done.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
All right, so we are back. Paul J. and Chris, KBOI News Time, 9:06. Possible that the Clinton Foundation memo recently recently released by WikiLeaks, a dump of hacked emails, is already baked into the cake of this presidential race. It certainly doesn't help the Clinton campaign, down ballot Democrats, on the future of the Clinton Foundation itself. In the Washington Post, this quote: when top Bill Clinton aide Douglas Band wrote the memo, he was a central player at the Clinton Foundation and was president of his own corporate consulting firm. Over the course of 13 pages, he made a case that his multiple roles had served the interests of the Clinton family and its charity, and in doing so, Band also detailed a circle of enrichment in which he raised money for the Clinton Foundation from top-tier corporations such as Dow Chemical and Coca-Cola, who were clients of his firm, Tenio, while pressing many of those same donors to provide personal income to the former president. The quote goes on: the memo lays out the aggressive strategy behind lining up the consulting contracts and paid speaking engagements for Bill Clinton that added tens of millions of dollars to the family's fortune, including during the years that Hillary Clinton led the State Department. It describes how Band helped run what he called the Bill Clinton Incorporated, obtaining in-kind services for the president and his family for personal travel, hospitality, vacation, and the like. And this...
in return for nothing, right?
In return for... He probably got rich too, right?
Well, I mean, why do they give all this money?
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. I thought you were talking about Band when you were talking about the corporation.
No, it's generally it's to keep in favor. You know, yeah. If a vote comes up that affects Dow Chemical, and a lot of them do, then, you know, vote on the side of Dow Chemical.
Yeah.
There might be millions in it for you. That's illegal.
Yeah. The memo makes clear how inseparable the Clinton Foundation was to business, as you just said.
Mm-hmm.
While the Clinton campaign has refused to acknowledge the authenticity of the previous WikiLeaks emails, the company that banned co-founded Tenio did confirm that the memo was indeed a memo. That puts extra pressure on Clinton and her campaign to speak out, which they kind of haven't done.
You know, and the funny thing is, I'm guessing if she ever does address this, apart from saying that, oh, it was nothing and this was innocent and blah, 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 at some point she's going to say, that's just the way things are done in Washington.
Which is probably true and which has got people so upset.
Yeah, because it's never been supposed to be the way. That's not even a sentence. It is never supposed to have been the way.
Yeah, but it has turned into that.
Uh-huh.
And here's another thing from NBC News I saw today. One trend in the polling over the last few weeks is how support, and you talked about this, I think, off the air yesterday,
mm-hmm.
how support for third-party candidates like Libertarian Gary Johnson and the Green Party's Jill Stein is dropping dramatically. That's especially evident in the NBC News Wall Street Journal Marist poll of New Hampshire, where the combined percentage for Johnson and Stein declined from 18% to 14% in that state. The drop is less pronounced in Nevada,
yeah.
where another poll saw it drop from 11 to 10%.
Those people that are between the right and the left who are undecideds at this point, I think are jumping on the bandwagon of one candidate or the other, meaning the Republican or the Democrat, but they're deciding, well, I need to make a difference here, and the only way I'm going to make a difference is if I help somebody win or attempt to help somebody win, as opposed to just, you know, vote to make a statement.
Okay.
Now, I don't mind. Either way is fine with me, because your vote is your own personal thing.
Right.
If you want to vote to make a statement, go ahead. If you want to vote because you want to be on the winning side, go ahead.
This confusing election, you know, it prompted, I'd never thought about voting for a third-party candidate since Ross Perot, if
yeah.
you will. But, so I looked into Gary Johnson and Jill Stein and found them sorely lacking in things I look for in a presidential candidate.
Ross Perot was the first guy, though, at that point, who had said, you know, if we make these deals with all of the other countries for free trade, then all of the companies that currently employ people in the United States are going to go somewhere where it's cheaper to do so. And everybody else, I think, was just thinking at that time, wow, open up more countries, that'll mean more money for us. Well, it did mean more money for a few people, but not everybody.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, the people who had been laboring at jobs and whatnot.
KBOI News Time, 9:13. We'll be back. Got a couple of phone calls.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 1, listen to Savage on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time, 9:18. Let's jump on the phone. Well, let's not jump on the phones. Let's answer them. Let's go to Jim of Boise. Jim, good morning.
Morning. What's happening?
It's all you.
Okay. Anyway, you were talking about Nixon earlier and the good thing he did in the 60 election. Well, you know, Nixon probably did a lot of good things, but he'll be remembered for one thing.
Yep.
As Bill Clinton will be remembered for one thing.
Yep.
But I remember, I guess it was August 1974, and Nixon was giving his resignation speech. I walked into the room. My grandmother was sitting in front of the TV, and she says, he's still the best man.
You know, I did the first interview with Nixon after Watergate. Lon Dunn and I did it on the air here on KBOI. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, won all kinds of awards for it. That was a long time ago.
We called him
on his birthday, which is in January.
Well, he opened up China and this, that, and the other, and he made one stupid mistake.
Yep.
And I don't know.
Tends to follow you around.
Yep. But if he were able to, you know, the thing in 1960, not only that, But he hung in there patiently for 8 years and then won later.
True.
Yeah. So, well, and during that time, he also lost the race for governor of California.
Mm-hmm, he did.
Well, take care.
That's when he said, thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
That's when he gave his famous line, you're not going to have Dick Nixon to kick around anymore. And then, of course, later we did.
We did, yeah. Let's go to Rich of Boise. Rich.
Well, I was trying to figure out what on this Clinton Foundation thing, what the heck you guys thought you had. Chris said something about Dow Chemical, they give the money, and then when there's a vote later involving them, you know, and something about that being illegal. What vote are you talking about? What vote did the Clinton Foundation get to vote on for Dow Chemical or even any of the Clintons?
I wasn't talking about a specific vote. I was just saying that when a huge corporation gives an awful lot of money to even a charity that is being run by politicians, usually there is something expected in return.
Well, that's hardly, I mean, you guys do things for charities. What do you expect in return?
I don't
give them millions.
We don't make money doing that, though, Rich. Yeah. That's the difference with the Clinton Foundation. Well, at least according to this, says Bill Clinton made tens of millions of dollars on the Clinton Foundation.
Well, no, he made speeches. But what did these corporations, they didn't have anything to gain by giving money to the Clinton Foundation. The Clinton Foundation is this, because you should look it up, it's an A-rated charity. It does things all over the world. So
it also has made Bill Clinton a lot of money.
Well, Bill Clinton's made himself money. See, the charity doesn't pay him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it does.
Huh?
I think it does.
No, look it up.
I just read a thing that said it did.
No, you didn't read something that said the charity paid him money.
Oh, you're right. Okay. I'm just reading it back. All right. He's made tens of millions of dollars. He makes it, though, from speaking to Dow Chemical and doing all that.
No, you're right when you say I don't have any proof for anything like that, but I just want to know from you if Dow Chemical makes a donation of millions of dollars to a charity, do you think it's all just, you know, out of the goodness and kindness of their hearts?
Well, if you're going to be that cynical, then any company, McDonald's Corporation, gives money to charities, are you cynical about that too? I mean, what are they asking for? I don't know. I mean,
what makes me cynical is the word corporation.
Dow Chemical does it just like McDonald's does it. They do it for publicity.
McDonald's, the big thing about McDonald's is they collect money to run those Ronald McDonald houses. It doesn't cost McDonald's anything.
Well, Dow Chemical does it for publicity. You see all those commercials they run saying what they're doing for the environment and what they're doing for the world and stuff. That's why they do it, to get good publicity for their brand. There's big corporations, like the Koch brothers even. They run commercials on what they do for the environment, what they do for charities and stuff too. It's just part of their publicity thing to make them look better.
So we got to move on.
Okay. I was going to say, so it's all on the up and up with the Koch brothers as well?
Yeah.
Or George Soros, if you're, you know.
Yeah. Let's go to Mark of Boise. Mark.
My God. I mean, I don't know how much Rich needs to see that's right at the end of his nose there. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's right there, the tidal wave of crap on Hillary, her foundation, and the whole, you know, Clinton campaign committee with Podesta and all. I mean, this guy is still trying to back her. You must have more than one screw loose there.
No. Before you start calling everybody names and everything, in many polls, and I know you're going to say the polls are fixed, she's winning. So not everybody feels exactly the way you do.
Well, that's why we have the country we have today, because we get a bunch of lunatics out there voting the wrong way, and then you give illegals the ability to vote on top of it. And
just because somebody doesn't agree with you doesn't make them a lunatic.
Mark, let me say this.
Jesus.
Okay, just a little bit ago, I did argue that, for instance, in order for someone to be convicted of a crime, there has to be evidence. You can't just think they did it. So in this case, too, I probably should be arguing that, you know, until you are proven guilty, you are in fact innocent. And like, for instance, reporters writing articles doesn't make anybody guilty. There's got to be a real investigation, and quite often there just isn't.
Oh, like the IRS scandal, the Benghazi scandal, Fast and Furious, those kind of investigations.
You know, you could spend the whole rest of the hour naming things, and
that's
you're
right. Yeah, and they go nowhere because of our corruption in Washington, D.C., and that includes the Republican Party.
See, now that's our assumption. That's our assumption.
Okay.
And we sometimes think we have proof, but quite often we don't have the proof that it's required.
Let me mention, this is why I called, though.
Okay, right. You got about a minute and a half.
With all the junk that's coming out now, you know, I made a prediction that, you know, let's see what happens after this election is over, because I could tell you one thing. No matter what, if she gets in, this is going to raise all hell with people who support Trump, because just the number of people who go to the rallies for Trump versus what they see at Hillary's rallies is just 10 times or more the number of people. But what I guess where I'm going with this is the fact that I can see either her getting in or he getting in. There's going to be something that's going to make the hanging chad incident look like child's play. This will end up in the Supreme Court. You're going to have riots. You're going to have all kinds of disruption across this country here. And what happened when we took out one of the most conservative judges, I should say the far left did? He was murdered, no autopsy done. Conveniently, now we have 4 v 4.
So you don't know he was murdered, Mark?
You know what?
You suspect.
I'm sorry. You don't do an autopsy on the guy? Come on. The family didn't want the autopsy done. Why? Because it might reveal that the guy was poisoned? Okay, but the guy was healthy. He did not have any health issues.
People have heart attacks, man.
Okay.
It happens.
You can see with Justice Roberts, the traitor from the health care deal.
Okay, we're out of time, Mark, and I'm not hanging up. I told you had a minute and a half 2 minutes ago. It's 9:26. What was that, Looney Tunes and Merry Melodies?
Actually, it was Merry Melodies. That was the merry-go-round broke down. Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that. I mean, Disney was first with Silly Symphonies.
Yep.
And then after that came Looney Tunes and Merry Melodies, which all kind of mean the same thing.
Yeah.
But they were all just cartoons.
Yep, they were indeed.
Pretty good cartoons for the most part.
Yep. Some of them were, some of them weren't. All right, we got phone calls to get to as soon as I can figure out how to make this thing work. We'll go to Randy of Magic Valley. Randy, good morning. Yo, Randy.
Yeah, gentlemen.
Yeah.
You know, I realize that these calls are probably just therapeutic for me and that I'm probably not changing a lot of people's minds, but you'd like to think that maybe you have some information that might have some insight. Since 1992, I've studied the Clintons and the amount of evidence, circumstantial evidence against them is so massive. And you say to yourself, you know, you and I are out here trying to do the right thing. And I want to make it so I have a good place to live for me, my children, my grandchildren. And when you see people like them who seem to just get away with everything because they can't prove it, you get so damn mad that you say, when do we get some justice? Because I don't get any special favors. And so it's so upsetting that you can't handle it. So if she gets elected, say, for instance, and she puts in a liberal Supreme Court, and Scalia did go on very sketchy circumstances, if you study it. But if you wanted to say, for instance, on the waters of the U.S. where they want to tell you what to do with a pond from a rainstorm in your yard, these people are in our lives, and they're going to have to be stopped. So if you sue the EPA, for instance, and it's a liberal court, they just swat you down, and you go back and you stay, keep your mouth shut. And see, these are the kinds of things that I worry about. That's my comment, gentlemen. Thank you.
All right.
And Chris, thanks, Randy. Chris has come up with an idea that I think we'll do maybe the day before the election or the Friday before.
What I want to do is have about 90 minutes where we have people, and we're not going to do it today, so
no,
you know, you don't need to get your answer ready right away. But what I want someone to do, and I want every caller to do this on that particular day, call up and make a case for the candidate you prefer without
mentioning the other candidate.
Without mentioning the other candidate at all or saying anything negative about the other candidate. And it, so what you can't say that day is that you're voting for Trump because he's not Hillary, and you can't say you're voting for Hillary because she's not Trump. You have to say one reason or two reasons or three why they should be president just in and of themselves. You know, it not.
Just, and I bet it's going to be hard for people most to
of
do
the,
that.
Yeah, most of the arguments I've heard, even during those three debates, all had to do with I should be president because she's terrible. I should be president because he's terrible.
Yeah.
Okay, what have you guys done that's good? That doesn't matter. She's terrible. He's terrible.
Exactly, and I think that would be good.
Which is why.
And I'm not sure we could get any calls
with
because...
With those arguments, though, you've got to... That's why some people are wondering, how did these two end up as the last two standing?
Well, you could hear the frustration in Randy's voice.
Yeah.
Randy's going, my God, really?
Yeah.
More of this?
Yeah.
What? When do I get mine?
Yeah.
You know, I've been out here. I've been working hard forever. I don't get... tens of millions of dollars or even tens of dollars. I don't get anything.
And he's not necessarily asking for that.
No, he's not.
He's asking that no one get it unfairly.
Exactly. And his frustration is shared by many. Well, most. Let's go to John of Boise. John, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, just a couple of points I'd like to bring up. Individual was pretty much stating that they're picking on Hillary. In her first debate, she pretty much said the most dangerous thing of our time is nuclear weapons. I don't know if you remember that or not.
I do not. I watched the debate, too.
Yeah, she did. Well,
they are. Yeah,
it.
I'm not saying she didn't say
it. They are pretty dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she sold at least, I get different numbers, but at least 20%. Of the high-grade uranium in this country, which comes from Wyoming, to the Russians. I don't care who was the middle person. They knew where it was going because Bill made a couple million dollars doing a speech during the same thing. That's how they do the little pay thing.
Who was the speech to? Do you remember?
No, I don't. I just have heard about it on numerous occasions. But the thing is, even without that, we'll skip Bill.
Okay.
Who makes the most nuclear weapons in the world right now? Russia. And we gave them more high-grade uranium.
Well, why are they helping Trump then? With
they
the
are,
WikiLeaks thing.
Well,
yeah.
Wait a minute. They are, or who is?
The Russians.
I don't think they're trying to help Trump at all.
Well, why would they turn against Hillary if she gave them all that stuff?
Well, she said her private emails and everything, her private server and everything had never been hacked. So, I don't know, maybe they're just writing these themselves. You know?
Well,
I don't know.
It wasn't there. Podesta is the guy who got hacked.
But you're not the first person to speculate that either.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, true.
Yeah, I think it could be our own government. Barack Obama could be doing it. You know, our government, we are one of the best at a lot of things. It's kind of curious to me how the Russians or the Chinese or whoever keeps hacking into stuff in this country, and we're not stopping them.
Yeah,
that's curiosity to me.
Well, what's curious to me is why aren't we doing it back? How can North Korea hack the United States?
That's my point.
With their lack of power and stuff, and we can't hack them? Or are we hacking them and not telling anybody?
We could stop them. Bet we are leading from behind. I don't think people understand that. When you lead from behind, you don't do anything.
All right.
You don't use what you have. But anyway, it's just curious that Hillary would give massive high-grade uranium to one of our enemies who would like to get rid of us. Nobody questions that. Anyway, have a good day.
You just questioned it, so somebody does.
Anyway, have a good day.
Instant message here.
We're all going to be blown to smithereens. Have a good day.
This is Dave who wrote earlier, about a half an hour ago. You know, he was saying that sometimes you just know people are guilty. But the problem is you always have to prove it. And he says, again, my point in short is that's how people get away with murder. Everything can't be proven all the time. It does not mean the crime has not been committed. To me, this is all a part of how the fraud is committed. It's convenient that our laws are set up to protect the guilty by leaving a loophole. The laws are not necessarily set up to protect the guilty. They're set up to protect everyone from being thrown into jail as guilty if no one can prove that they are.
Yeah,
and that's going to benefit you as well as me, as well as everyone. And yes, sometimes guilty people go free. Sometimes not guilty people go to jail.
It's the old deal, you know, remember the Rod Serling thing?
Yeah.
Where this woman gets...
You're traveling down a road.
Yeah, she gets raped and beaten and all of this stuff. And then she gets out of the hospital and... And they don't know who did it.
Well, and she
points
says,
across
that
the street.
That guy did
there
it.
There he is.
And so
there
the guy,
he is.
And so the guy kills him.
So they hang him, I think.
Right.
And then they walk away, yeah. and she sees another guy and goes, there he is.
And then she sees a third guy. There he is. And all of a sudden they realize, you know, she wasn't an eyewitness. She's
nuts
because of what happened to her. But... So
vigilante justice sometimes doesn't get it done.
This is like if you think back in the early parts of last century, there were a lot of black people that were lynched.
Yeah.
And the reason was a crime had been committed, and the guys, you know, running the town looked around and said, well, we know who did it. It was one of the black guys. Let's go lynch one of them.
Yeah.
And the laws of our country are supposed to prevent things like that from happening.
9:46. All right, we're back. KBOI News Time, 9:51. It's Thursday. Open Phones Friday, by the way, coming up tomorrow.
Yeah. I've got some instant messages here.
Mm-hmm.
Several to go through. Bill of Boise says, why can't they retrieve all...
Oh, I'm sorry. I haven't given the rewards code yet.
Oh, we should do that.
Proof. P-R-O-O-F. Proof. Go to 670kboi.com. Enter proof. Earn today's 5,000 rewards points.
Yeah, be sure you have proof. Bill of Boise says, why can't they retrieve all Hillary's emails? Even if they were deleted, nothing goes away permanently. It's common knowledge. Data is retrieved for other crimes all the time, but for some reason, Hillary's emails have been truly erased. I don't believe it for a second.
Now,
they're thinking about Gary Glitter and people like that. You know?
Yeah, now can't you, through encryption, whatever, get stuff to go away?
Not sure. You can wipe the...
I mean, I don't know, but I always assumed you could.
Yeah.
But Lord knows I'm not a techie.
Well, you know, and they even asked her if she'd wipe the hard drive, and she said, what, with a rag? So, you know, that wasn't a very good answer.
Trying to make it a joke.
Bob of CUNA says, how long have the Democrats been consecutively in office up to now? Well, president, 8 years. How much longer can we live like this? The Republicans actually control right now most of the rest of the government.
They do. They do,
including most of the states. But yeah, but the Democrats have the presidency,
yeah.
And as they say, the buck stops here. Dave of Boise simply says, "Wow, is Rich ever clueless?"
And Rich is saying the same about you.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, that's where we are these days.
Curtis says a very similar. Poor Rich, you are so naive, or I don't know. It's got to be that you're naive because I know you're not that stupid. It's already been shown that the Clintons did favors for the people that gave them donations. The contractors and such got top priority and rebuilding. And if you don't believe that, Rich, you better go back and grow pot, baby.
Give us examples.
Curtis has been listening.
Give us proven examples.
Yeah.
See, and that's what nobody can do. And I know the whole thing. And as I've said before, not supporting Hillary. Lord, I am not supporting Hillary. Not supporting Trump either. Lord knows I'm not supporting Trump. I'm just flummoxed by the whole deal.
Mari says, wow, that Mark is like all Trump supporters, like Trump. They will not accept losing without threats of anarchy and or death.
And
do
death,
they,
right.
Do they even hear themselves? It's actually kind of frightening. Yes, by the way, I calculated how long I've listened to Paul Jay every morning since 1979-ish. 37 years, and he doesn't even know me, but he's been waking me up every morning.
Sweet. Love it. And you know, people are frustrated with the way the government's works, et cetera. And I'm frustrated with the people's frustration, if you will. I've never seen anything like this.
I'll paraphrase here. David of Boise says, if these polls are correct, then all I can say is, what in the heck is wrong with America and the people who live here?
Well, they don't agree with you, some of them.
People tend to act on the information they have, and I don't think there's anybody that has all the information. Okay, Curtis, and this is one thing that happens, I think, in this modern, let's call it the internet society,
yeah,
is that people tend to gravitate toward the websites that they agree with or that agree with them.
No question.
And they tend to dismiss everything else.
I had a guy, I said yesterday as we were going off the air that some of the WikiLeaks stuff has been proven false. And the guy said, no, you're wrong, it hasn't been proven false. So, and believe me, I do read, maybe not everything that's sent to me, but I read a lot of stuff. And I looked it up, and there were stories about things all being true, all of the WikiLeaks stuff being absolutely 100% true.
And
there were stories about some of it being untrue. So I guess I would amend my statement to saying there are reports that some of the WikiLeaks stuff is not true. Yeah. Whether or not, I don't know. I didn't read them. I didn't read every one as it came across or whatever. However they were turned over to it.
Let's just put it this way. There's a lot of stuff on the internet that isn't true, but that goes for the TV news as well.
Yep. Time to think about with Mike Rogers is next. Brought to you by Boise Church of Christ, where church is family. Check them out at boisechurch.org.
Now, something to think about with Mike Rogers.
Chaz Henry in for Mike Rogers. One sign that escalating military pressure on the so-called Islamic State is having a serious impact on the terrorist group, the drastic drop-off in its online media operations. August 2015 was a peak month for IS media output, according to researchers working at the U.S. Military Academy in West Point, New York. That month, the group released more than 700 items from official outlets. A major theme then was that IS really is a caliphate, with leaders combining honest, caring, religious, and governmental authority. When those messages clashed with the reality most people under IS rule experienced, and the group came under increasing military attack, the group's messaging output dropped. This past August, the number totaled 200, and the themes are more fighting-focused. A positive development to most Western analysts, though they continue to worry about the group's radicalizing potential in nations outside the region. I'm Chaz Henry, something to think about.